When Jesus is your true bread, it fills you with contentment so that you're not searching for satisfaction anymore.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about food for our soul. What did Jesus mean when he said he is the bread of life? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren telling us why Jesus is the bread of life. Thanks for listening.
It starts out with a warning, but you're probably going to hear this and say, I already knew that. Here's the warning. Do not go grocery shopping with an empty stomach and an empty list, as in no list. What happens when you go grocery shopping with an empty stomach? It means you're hungry and without a shopping list. You grab everything off the shelves. You're like, your eyes just like ravenously consume everything you need to get it. Yeah, that happened to me this last week. My mom's in town visiting from out of state, and so we wanted to have a nice dinner, and we agreed let's throw some steaks on the grill for dinner, and so let's just keep it simple. We're going to grab some steaks, grab a couple veggies, throw them on the grill, roasted veggies. We had most of them already in our refrigerator, so Mom and I went to the grocery store. We walked in the door, and all we needed was three steaks and some Brussels sprouts. I grab a basket. We walk into the produce section, throw the Brussels sprouts in. Yeah, we should probably have some, you know, summer squash and zucchini. Okay, throw that in there too. Wait, let's put some broccoli as well. And oh, that's right, we need mushrooms. Let's throw. And so we're going through the store without a list, kind of hungry, late afternoon. We end up going to check out the steaks. You know, well, why not? Maybe get an extra one. They're on special. And okay, oh, we should have artichoke hearts in our grilled vegetable. And now the basket is getting a little heavier. And then, of course, we have to stop and get a bottle of wine. And maybe they're on special. Let's just get two. By that time, I have two hands on the shopping basket. And I'm thinking we should have had a grocery cart. And that's what happens. Circumstances and events at our church in last week and in my life this last week brought that scenario that happened this past week to life for me. And as I studied Jesus' I Am statement, it made me realize the importance of this. That we naturally, all of us, I shop for satisfaction in life. And I think I have this empty basket. And I think I have to fill that basket up with things in life that satisfy me, that I think are important to me, that I need for my sustenance. And I put things in there that appeal to my appetite of the moment, that's making me hungry, that I think I need for sustenance. And when I do, I become overloaded in my own basket. And the detriment of that is that I become overloaded so much with my stuff in my basket that I don't have room for Jesus. And I know that because when things are taken out of my basket that I wanted in my basket, I can go into a tailspin and I get way more than nervous and I get full of anxiety and fear and it's troubling and it's worrisome and I don't sleep. And that should be a sign to me that I had things in my basket that were my things in my basket. And Jesus has a better plan. Today, Jesus says, you don't have to be hungry. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, you're not as hungry as you think. Your basket, when you go shopping in life for life's things, your basket isn't as empty as you feel it is, Jesus is telling us. And he's saying, I have a list for you. I have a shopping list for you. And it's very clear. And it's very accessible to you. You don't even have to write it down. It's so clear and simple. And Jesus says all of that in this I Am statement. Jesus says to us, I am the bread of life. Let's let him preach to us today as he has a pretty long section here in John chapter 6. I'm going to divide it up in half. I'm going to read the first part now and then the second part a little later. And what's happening here is Jesus expounds on himself being the bread of life. is that there's a crowd flocking around Jesus, and the reason they're flocking to him and following him is that just before this, Jesus had performed the miracle of feeding over 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish, and Jesus multiplies them, and everybody's baskets are full, and their tummies are full, and they're happy, and they say, wow, this is a great guy to have around. This is like the goose that lays golden eggs, and so they're following Jesus, and they want more physical, earthly enjoyment and sustenance. And then Jesus turns around and says this, like the lesson I learned in the grocery store. He says, earthly enjoyment is one thing. You're going to keep filling your basket up and it's going to be emptied. I want to be your spiritual nutrition. So right here we have then, in the context of these words, the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, and then in reference, Jesus brings up another occasion in the Old Testament of a physical feeding that God was using for a spiritual purpose, and that's God giving manna to the Israelites in the wilderness, and they came to rely on that manna so much and didn't always see the spiritual lesson in it, and eventually Jesus is going to tell us, they ate manna and they died in the desert. The manna didn't keep them alive, but Jesus is saying, I do. All right, there's the whole intro. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 32. Jesus said to them, this crowd that's following him, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. When we feel satisfied with earthly enjoyments alone, then we're not hungry anymore, and we don't have room for the true nutrition that Jesus is. And so he makes a statement in verse 36. Jesus says, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. See, it's possible to know Jesus. This, for you and me, it's possible that we know Jesus, that we study him. Just like it's possible for the people in his day to actually lay eyes on him and see him miraculously feed people and perform healings and hear him preach. So Jesus is saying it's possible that you see me and yet you don't benefit from me. It's possible for us to know Jesus and that he's just, we're not in a real relationship with him. He's not our genuine real Savior. We're not receiving the benefits from him. And why? Because our basket is full of earthly enjoyments and satisfaction. We're not hungry for Jesus because our hunger is filled with our stuff. I'll ask people sometimes. Sometimes we go knocking on doors. We ask people, can we pray for you? Or I'll ask them that question personally. Here's the answer I don't want to hear, but about half the time I do. Can I pray about something for you? Nah, I'm good. Really? Now, that can be a heart that's content. I don't want to judge everyone, but I'm thinking, if Jesus is real to you, and you know him and what he's all about, that you have something that you want to ask of him, that you have something going on in the world that you know he can fix, he can solve, he can bless in some way, that I just believe a dry prayer life is a sign that I'm filled up with a lot of things and not Jesus. That tells me I want Jesus to be in that person's heart and in my heart too when I have a dry prayer life. Earthly nourishment makes us feel full, but ironically, we're starving to death. Kind of like having a carb crash. when you when you're at your office and some sales rep comes in and they bring in Olive Garden for lunch and all kinds of pasta and all kinds of bread and I love it and it's good and you mow it down for lunch and an hour later everybody in the office carb crash. It wasn't the nourishment and the sustenance that you needed to make it through the afternoon. And you thought you were full and you're really starving for nutrition. See, that's what happens when I fill my shopping basket up with things that I shop for satisfaction in this world. And it's not necessarily bad things. Zucchini is very healthy for me, but it ended up weighing that basket down. It's how I look at those things to provide me fulfillment. That's the issue. So Jesus goes on. He says this. He's talking to the crowd and to us. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Put the earthly enjoyment and junk food back on the shelf. And Jesus is saying, be filled up with me, and then you won't be hungry for the right reason, because you'll be filled, you'll have so much of me. And so when Jesus is your true bread, it fills you with contentment so that you're not searching for satisfaction anymore. When Jesus is your true bread, Jesus is telling you, you have this the satisfaction in life. I'll tell you this, when Jesus is your true bread, you're not only satisfied, God is satisfied with you. Because Jesus is the perfect nutrition. Not like a loaf of bread, not like a granola bar, not like a Snickers bar. Jesus is the perfect nutrition. And when you believe in him, you're feeding on him, and God looks at you and he sees perfect nutrition. He sees that you are fully forgiven, that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that the love of Jesus is in your heart. And so when Jesus is your bread, you're not only satisfied, God is satisfied by his grace, and you're his perfect, forgiven child of God. Now, that doesn't always add up, doesn't always make sense to us, it doesn't always compute in a shopping list that we can put in a shopping cart, and we see that here in the second half of Jesus' words, beginning at John chapter 6, verse 41. The Bible says this, at this, Jesus saying he's the bread of life, at this the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? They're saying, this guy's from Nazareth, not from heaven. Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Jesus talking about himself there. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Kids, question. How many of you eat at McDonald's? Raise your hand. How have you eat it? No, adults, not, I don't, there's more adults than kids raising their hand. Yep, okay. How many of you kids would like to eat at McDonald's every day? Most hands stayed up. All right. Adults, how many of you have heard of the documentary Super Size Me? Okay, that Morgan Spurlock. So tell your kids about this now. So Morgan Spurlock for 30 days eats 3 meals a day at McDonald's to see what happens. What happens? He gains 24 pounds and his cholesterol goes up 65 points. So McDonald's is not going to kill you. It's not poison, but don't go there every day. Not a good idea. Because McDonald's isn't real food. It's what kind of food? Fast food. Yeah. So we call this fast food because we want it fast. We want it convenient. And for it to be fast and convenient, it's not made for health. It's made for convenience and profit. It's not real food, you could put it that way. The Jews are telling Jesus, you're not the real Savior. You're not the real bread of life that you say. And Jesus gives four reasons why he is. Right, count these up with me now. Four reasons Jesus says, I'm the real Savior. It starts with this. He says, I have absolute authority from God himself. Verse 41, I am the bread that came down from heaven. He said, I didn't come off the grocery store shelf. I came from heaven. So, two reasons. Number one, Jesus continues. These are his words. He says, number one, I'm the real Savior because I've seen the Father. There's no one else on this earth who has been in eternity and spent eternity with God the Father except God the Son, and you're talking to him right now. So number one, I'm the real deal, is I've seen the Father. Number two, I've been sent by the Father, but not by my authority, but my Father's authority sent me to be the Savior of the world. Number three, Jesus says, show me another religious founder or leader who dies and rises from the dead. Doesn't happen, except in mythology. Doesn't happen. But the real deal, Jesus says, I'm going to prove to you that I'm the real deal because I'm going to die and I'm going to rise from the dead. And then you, all of you who believe in me, are going to rise from the dead also and live eternally in heaven with me. That I'm going to show you I'm the real deal. And number four, how Jesus says, I'm the real, genuine Savior. I'm not fast food. I'm not off the shelf. I'm true nutrition and nourishment and satisfaction. He talks about us and he brings us into it. He says, I have this Father, and he is Joseph. You're right. I have this Father, his earthly father, really stepfather. And I'm from Nazareth. And he taught me about wood. He taught me carpentry. And I'd use wood, and I'd get a splinter in my finger as I was running my hand on the wood, and it would bleed. And that's my earthly father, and he showed me the wood. And I have this heavenly father, and he showed me some wood too. And it's the cross. And I touch it, and it pierces me. And the nails, they pierce me, and my blood runs down it, and I die. And I do it because I love my Father, and I love what he tells me. And what my Father tells me is that his will is that I get on the cross and I die for your sins, to make the payment for your sins. And so Jesus is telling you, I am your real satisfaction. I'm your real health and nutrition because the cross is real. And that means that Jesus' death was real and the payment was real and your forgiveness is real. And your life through it, as the Father draws you to himself, he's drawing you through the cross, through Jesus' cross that took all your sins away, and through your own cross too. The Father draws you to himself through crosses. And Jesus says, that's how we know it's real, and that makes me the bread of life. There's a little bit of a strange statement that Jesus ends with, and I want to explain that before I wrap up here. Jesus says, this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world, verse 51. Scholars go back and forth about this. There's a longer section, this John 6, and it keeps going. And the question is this, is Jesus referring to Holy Communion here or not? Is he referring to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper when he says, this bread is my flesh? Commentators go back and forth. I lean direction of believing he's not referring to Holy Communion yet. He hasn't instituted it yet. It doesn't really exist. And so he's talking really about himself being real. And when he says, eat my flesh, it's a metaphor to say, I'm the real thing and I'm both divine and human. So that's the point that Jesus is trying to get across when he says, I'll give my flesh for the life of the world. Is that the bread, when he says, I'm the bread of life, he's saying, I'm not just a divine being, I'm a human, physical being too. And that adds to his argument that he's the real thing, that he's a real Savior. So, let's stop filling up our shopping baskets. Let's identify and realize that we have earthly appetites and that things look appealing to us, and we believe that those things are important for dinner, for life, for our being. And when we don't have them, we need to remember and believe we have better nutrition and health and nourishment and better satisfaction in Jesus, the bread of life. So trust in the bread of life, and you will be nourished. Nourished with, I'm going to give you a short list of things here. Nourished with peace. Peace and contentment, the kind that Paul talks about when he says, I've learned the secret of being content. My God will meet all your needs. I don't need the shopping basket. I don't need a shopping cart because I have a God who meets all my needs, and he's the bread of life. Trust in the bread of life, and you'll be nourished with this, with energy for doing his will. Paul later writes, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Trust in the bread of life, and you'll be nourished with joy. And that joy comes from knowing you're at a good place with God. That you wake up in the morning and God's already happy with you because of his grace, his forgiveness. The Bible says God forgave you as dearly loved children. What dearly loved child doesn't have happiness and joy? And we're God's children and we have joy through the bread of life. Believe in the bread of life. And you'll have life not just in this world, but eternally. Jesus says, the one who believes in me has everlasting life. I read a blog that was interesting about eating healthy and nutrition. And it said, it took a survey, and as part of the survey, one of the results was that people actually feel more confused about a health and nutrition eating plan than they do about trying to file their own taxes. So people say that filing their own taxes, as confusing as that is actually easier than eating healthy. Eating healthy can be complicated. Thank God for Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus is not a plan. He's not a program. He's not something that you have to list and look at every day and figure out and do it exactly right. Jesus is nutrition. Jesus is true, real satisfaction. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.